and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I can hear you.
We're ready. We have a new young lady helping us.
Sue.
And you may have to turn us down because this is good. I mean, well, yeah, that's good, too.
Well, you can adjust your earphones.
I got my earphones.
On your dial right there.
But anyway, hi, Sue.
Good morning.
Oh, yes.
Good morning.
Here I am.
I could have turned my sound down. Well, anyway, this is Sue. So how do you do, Sue?
Good morning. I'm great.
Lynn and I are here, too, with Sue.
We are.
And you. I can rhyme all the time.
And all the Jeffersonians out there, all those patriots.
Yes.
So it's another beautiful morning in Jefferson. And Terry was going to claim that the sun came out when he arrived at the studio, but it was following me to the studio. So I had to beat him to the punch.
Anyway, we are broadcasting live on 96.5 FM, KCNR, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And we are here at Jefferson State of Mind. And we're excited about this morning because Gwen's going to give us a little breakdown on where we go from here. But the other part of that I'd like to bring up is that on Monday, May 20th, tomorrow night, at 2570 South Bonneview Road at 6 o'clock at the church that shall remain unnamed. It does have a name, but they don't want us to mention it. Anyway, it is a church. South Bonneview, 2570 South Bonneview Road, will be having Mark Muser. And Mark ran for Secretary of State in the last election on the Republican ticket. He's going to talk about ballot harvesting and what Republicans can do to win in California again. So apparently he's going to do a magic trick. That magic trick would be?
I don't know. audit all the elections and results?
Maybe, yeah, I think that may be it. But, again, it's the type of thing where when you have a situation where you're trying to win back California, I don't know if there is any winning back California. I don't know how much more there is left to win.
And what is more than a supermajority? I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
That's what they have is a super majority, and there's no way that the conservatives can ever have a voice.
Well, until we increase representation.
Yeah, that's why I had two more friends leave California.
Yeah, me too.
Just in the last week, they're gone. Their families, their businesses. Yeah. They took their businesses with them, and they're going to go someplace else and hopefully create wealth for themselves there, which I, all for, and kudos to them, and hate to see them go, but they're doing the brave thing, doing what they have to do for their family.
They are, but we have some people that are still here that are good good folks, businesses, I see, that
we do
have signs and all that good stuff, and we'd like to recognize them.
Yeah, and we want to thank all of our State of Jefferson sign sponsors. These are the folks that have their signs out front on their property, and I have a quick little list here to go through, so I'm going to do it real quick. Dearman Pumps out on Highway 273. Vic Hannon on Highway 273, Valley Septic on East Side Road, Bob Hutchins on River Road, Stroop's Equipment on Churn Creek Road, Skunk Works Motorcycle on North I-5, Design Time and Tile on Highway 273, Muse Trucking on Clear Creek Road, Donna Jamian Construction on Twin View Boulevard, Leo Jones Propane on Highway 299 in Bella Vista and Burney, Solid Rock Construction on Airport Road, Donald Rolgren on Firewood and Burney, Mort's Custom Sheet Metal, Clear Creek Road, Rich Morgan Holiday Ranch, Gas Point Road, Sight for Sore Eyes, Cypress Avenue, American Lock and Key, Twin View Boulevard, Klein Equipment, Round Mountain, North State Consultants Incorporated, Old Oregon Trail, Lassen Landscape, Churn Creek Road, and Dry Creek Station, Highway 299 in Bella Vista. We want to thank all those folks because they're the ones that, pay for the signs to go up. They have them out there, and they're professing their support of Jefferson. So please patronize each and every one of these businesses. If they have a service or product that you would like to acquire, please go to their business and tell them thank you and let them know that you support them, you know, due to Jefferson and or because of the services that they provide.
Well, we've had a lot of interesting news this week. We have some things that have happened as far as the court case goes. And we have a lot of things that are going to be happening here in the next, I would say, 6 months on a couple of really neat things, one being...
Or less.
One of the neat things is we had Judge Alex Kaczynski, who had been an advisor for us, and he had been absolutely wonderful. Judge Kaczynski was the last conservative Chief Justice on the Ninth Circuit, a Reagan appointee, and he retired, I believe it was, 2014.
December 14th.
And that's what I wanted to say. And anyway, he also was the gentleman who tutored a Supreme Court Justice who we've just...
Just appointed. Mm-hmm.
Judge Kavanaugh.
Yep.
So Judge Kavanaugh clerked under Judge Kaczynski. The thing that's pretty dynamic about this is now Judge Kaczynski is not only on our legal team with Scott Stafney.
As an advisor.
Well, he's not only on our legal team as an advisor.
Right.
As far as, you know, as far as being part of that team that includes Scott Stafney and Gary Zerman, but he is also writing our appeal.
Yep.
And he's leading the charge, which is pretty amazing.
Which in the beginning he elected not to do. And he said, no, I'll be behind the scenes and I'll just kind of help you along. And now that he understands the dynamic, he did understand the dynamics of it, but really got to marinate in it, so to speak, by going through all the information he researched and seeing everything and hearing everything and having lots of dialogue. He's like, yeah, no, we need to get this done.
And so I think
he gets it.
And I think the thing that probably is best about the whole thing is that Judge Kaczynski is a man who not only has notoriety and is famous in that regard. He's stellar in what he does. But I think the main thing that really got to, I know Wynn and I, when we were on a conference call with the attorneys, was the fact that Judge Kaczynski was not really pulling any punches. When he first started to join us, he certainly wasn't someone who was, you would say, overly optimistic. And he was somebody who came in and was very pointed, was very real. In fact, he made some comments that, I don't know, kind of, you know, deflated the ball a little bit. Wynn and I both walked around for a while with our lip dragging on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But in the last call, he made a comment that cheered us up. He said not only was he happy about joining the team, you know, in front of God and everybody, but he said he was encouraged. Now, that's kind of like going from asking a girl on a date, and she tells you it's one in a million, and you say, well, gee, I guess there's still a chance, to having a situation where they're saying, yeah, how about dinner at 8 o'clock Friday night? So, you know, that's the type of thing that we have going on here. It's very encouraging, very exciting. And if you want to call in, 605-4567, area code 530, 605-4567. If you have questions on the case, that'd be great. We also learned something on another phone call we did, and that is that a lot of people don't seem to really grasp the fact of what the CFR case is and does. And I know we've talked about it a lot on this program, but really and truly, believe me, we all know that the court cannot create a state. That's the legislative branch that we have to go through. But what the court does do is it shows things that are constitutional and unconstitutional. It shows what representation should be, could be, or would be, and not exactly what it is, which right now is basically none. One senator for every million people and one assemblyman for every 500,000.
And we're also using case law for that very reason.
We are using case law. And you know what
which
we have
very
right,
helpful.
Very helpful. And you know what we have right now?
We have somebody who knows a thing or two.
Yeah, he knows a thing or two because he's seen a thing or two.
That's right.
That's right. His name is Mark Baird. Kemosabe, what you got, buddy?
Good morning, Mark.
Oh, I thought you guys were going to break.
Nope.
Oh, why? Did somebody tell you that?
Are we going to break? Do they have donuts at break? We can go to break. If they have donuts, we can go to break.
I'll take a donut.
Once a cop, always a cop, huh?
Apparently.
All right, my friend. We will go ahead and we'll take a break. And Sue's smiling, and that's good. We want to keep Sue smiling.
We'll go after our break, and we'll come back, and we'll have a chat with you.
You bet. Time has come.
For 51.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Are we back? We are back. We are live. Okay, we were just having a little bit of fun there. Hey, before we go to our caller, I want to announce something real quick. Today, May 19th, Sunday, May 19th, at 11 a.m. at the Reading Memorial Cemetery, Preston Sharp is going to be having an Honor Veterans Everyday program there, where they go out and make sure that the tombstones are clean and tidied up, and they put flowers and flags on them. So I just wanted to let everybody know that. Again, today, 11 a.m. at the Reading Memorial Cemetery at 1201 Continental Street here in Reading. And the flags and flowers are provided. And so they just ask you to wear weather-appropriate gear. So, you know, probably, you know, good shoes because of the grass probably being wet. And it looks like it's clearing up because the sun followed me in. So we'll make sure that, you know, everybody goes out there and has a good time. So I just want to give that shout-out to Preston and his group and let everybody know. There you go.
Kimasabi, what say you, sir?
Well, I had an interesting radio chat last week, plus the phone call that we had with the attorneys and Judge Kaczynski. That was pretty good stuff. So I think we're ready. And unfortunately, you know, here's part of the deal for everybody. We're in the part of this that is just plugging away, plotting step by step, but we're doing something real here. I mean, I just think that we've got to double down. We've got to keep going. We're in the middle of this case. It's going to the Ninth Circuit. Our hopes, and this would be the only outcome that it would be logical for the court to do, you know, if we win, I think we will. I think the judge is right. I think that Judge Mueller made some serious procedural errors, possibly criminal errors, in my opinion. The court will never indict a sitting judge, though, for that, so we can give up on that. But what we can hope for is that the appellate court will kick the case back to Judge Mueller and order her to constitute a three-judge panel. Now, the tough part about this for us as the people, because as we know, all courts are corrupt, the judges know who pay them, is that this little detour to the Ninth Circuit is about a $100,000 day for us. So we go to the Ninth Circuit, and the Ninth Circuit orders Judge Mueller to constitute a three-judge court, and then where are we? We're back right where we had planned to be, right where we need to be, so that our appeal will be guaranteed in the United States Supreme Court, and that's the goal of this. Now, we never expected to win in federal court because Judge Mueller is a Democratic operative. She's buddies with Jerry Brown and Daryl Steinberg and all the big money boys. She probably knows Gavin Newsom personally. You know, she's not about to find poor California. Now, if lightning strikes and we get two conservative justices, maybe we've got a shot here. But in Sacramento's branch of the federal court, that's bloody unlikely, I got to tell you. So once we've accomplished our Article III standing, and whether we do or we don't, if the appeals court kicks it back to Judge Mueller, even if she says you don't have standing to be here with her three-judge panel, if they vote that we don't have standing, we still go to the United States Supreme Court. So that's where we need to be. We need to be back in that trial court with a three-judge panel, and that's the best outcome we could hope for out of a Ninth Circuit appeal.
And that is
the outcome that Judge Kaczynski thinks is possible. And once again, Wynn said that he's hopeful. You can never get an attorney to say you're going to win. Because they can't do that. It would be malpractice for them, too. But all of the attorneys agree that our case is well-reasoned, well-written. Judge Kaczynski has read the historical material. We need to keep coming up with that stuff. And here's the tough part of this, folks. Unlike our buddies in New California, we have to be readers. We have to discover these facts. They have to be the truth. They have to be provable. They have to be verifiable. I thought it was so funny that I don't know if everybody saw that show, but Paul Preston's quoting a court case, and I was just sitting there thinking to myself, I wonder if this guy realizes that he's quoting the wrong case. But Preston never reads these things. He just repeats what somebody else told him. So he's quoting Reynolds versus Sims, and I pointed out to him, hey, Paul, you're quoting the wrong case. That's not what Reynolds says. Oh, no, blah, 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 and then all of a sudden the puffery starts. So,
I need to clarify that, Mark, for the folks. Let me clarify what you're talking about. There was a show that Will Johnson does, the YouTube show, and he had Mark Baird and Paul Preston on. And there was a lot of things that Paul Preston talked about with New California. And some things, I know they wanted to use the West Virginia model as their, quote, constitutional position, and they didn't use that on the radio program because I'm sure that someone probably told Paul that you can only use the West Virginia model if California secedes from the Union, or there's sedition, insurrection, or there's treason, which would mean leaving the Union.
Right.
So what I'd like you to do is expound on that a little bit, and also I want to stay on the court case too for a little bit, because there was a couple statements you made that I want to have you clarify. Not that you haven't before, my good friend, because you have a zillion times, but in some phone calls this week, I realized that maybe there's some newer people that need to be refreshed. But give us the lowdown on the Will Johnson interview and what you saw in that.
Well, Will Johnson's a very articulate young man. He's a good speaker. He wants to help. He wants to do the right thing. But it's always tough with Jefferson because, look, this stuff required a tremendous amount of study and research and discovery. And we had guys, we had a good friend of the movement who sent people to the archives in Monterey. We dug through the working notes of the original 1850 Constitution and the original working notes of the 1879 Constitution. We've discovered historical facts that lead us to a place that the state of California was engaged in a program to deny people access to political power. We're using that for our court case. We've done a tremendous amount of research about how our new state could and should be run through the Equal Footing Doctrine, the American Lands Council stuff, the what a state owns and what the feds own, what states have jurisdiction over, or what do states have jurisdiction over with regard to water rights, and what do the feds have jurisdiction over, state managed, federally managed lands that are actually state property. I mean, we have done tremendous amounts of reading. It would literally take days, just days and days and days of very, very hard study for someone to sit down and truly understand the basis of where we're coming from, the legal basis to form the state of Jefferson, how we have the legal authority as the people of the state of now California to form the state of Jefferson, upon what basis we can proceed in court or out of court legislatively, all of the history involved, the constitutional law involved, the precedent involved, the you know, just everything about it. This requires a tremendous amount of knowledge to truly understand why we have the authority to do what we're doing, how we can or cannot proceed, and upon what basis we may or may not succeed. And those things have led us to the place where we are now. And it isn't a quick trip. I mean, this has got literally 5 years of a tremendous amount of effort by a great many people in 23 counties to get to where we are now. So we have the legal, moral, and ethical authority to proceed. We're doing something real. Was it easy? No. Did we get everything we want? No. Are we going to win everything we try to win? Probably not. But our goal is nothing less than statehood. And to say to yourself, well, we're going to form a fake legislature, we're going to have fake senators and fake assemblymen, and we've declared our independence from California, and we have for 62 weeks, we've been standing on some courthouse steps reading grievances against California. And my closing remark to the host of the show was, or one of the closing remarks, because I had a few minutes to myself there, I said, look, you know, Paul has declared independence from California. Okay, so if he's speeding down the road, you know, on I-5, would a California police officer give him a ticket? Would he end up in a California court and pay a fine to California? Do you guys still pay your property taxes to California? If you robbed a bank in California, would you end up in a California prison or a new California prison? In other words, to stand up and say we're independent and to not back that up with any action whatsoever that affects people's lives in a real way is a fraud, and it is leading people astray. It will accomplish nothing. To say to yourself, well, we're going to use the West Virginia model. Okay, all right, cool. Get it done then. Use the West Virginia model and tell us when you've got it finished so that we can declare ourselves citizens of New California and stop paying taxes to the state of California. But those things never happen because it's all pie in the sky.
Right.
They don't do any research. They don't know what they're talking about,
right,
and they're just faking people out of their money.
Well, one of the things that, and you're so right about all that, Mark, one of the things that, I mean, he was caught in so many things. He made the fluff sound good. There wasn't one thing that actually came out of his mouth, meaning Paul Preston, in this particular interview, and he had when Will had you both on, that was factual. Not one single thing that came out of his mouth. First of all, the only way he can base his position of appointing state senators, that means I decided I'd be the state senator the state senator for the county of Shasta, because I decided that. The only way you can possibly do that is the way West Virginia did it during they call that the Civil War. That hasn't happened. You can't just appoint people. So his whole position of saying we can appoint these people and we can actually have them do it and volunteer to do it is using a model that can't be used.
Well, look, there was a big difference, too.
Big difference.
The state of Virginia was engaged in insurrection and sedition, and therefore...
And secession.
When West Virginia appealed directly to Congress for states for separation from West Virginia, there was no one from the state of Virginia that was going to go to West Virginia and try by force of arms to stop them. And yes, there were Confederate armies and Union armies operating in the area, and the battle flowed to and fro until, as we know, until mid-1860s. But But the point is, when the people of West Virginia declared themselves for statehood, and it took Congress until, I think, 1863 or so to finally grant them statehood, they constituted a government. It was a real government that people paid their taxes to and people had to obey and had policemen and so on, that the state of Virginia never interfered with because they didn't have the military power or the political power to interfere. That's not the case in California. You can call yourself an elephant all day long, but that doesn't make you an elephant. So it just, to me, it's a confusing set of circumstances that leads people to believe that something's happening that isn't happening.
Well, that,
and what I say is, let's keep our eye on the ball and do something real. We're engaged in two federal lawsuits. We need to raise money for those lawsuits. We have other plans and programs in place. If the election process goes a certain way, we're going to try to put someone in the assembly. That's a real thing. We're going to try to do something legal, moral, ethical to advance our goal in a real way toward statehood, or at least our path to statehood.
Right.
We recognize the challenges. We recognize the fact that everyone in California is against us, except for the people of Jefferson. We recognize the fact that the Republican Party hates us. We recognize the fact that the Democratic Party hates us. We recognize the fact that the status quo government of California wishes we'd go away. In fact, the people of Jefferson have a nickname in Sacramento. It's called PITA, pain in the, and I won't say the last word. They know about us, and they know that what we're doing is real, and we have got to press and press and press and back them into a corner and be obnoxious and obtuse and forward our goals, never take no for an answer, one foot in front of the other, and fight this war until we win it in real ways on the ground, elect local candidates who are Jefferson people, have those candidates speak out for our liberty and our rights. I want to start pushing the Second Amendment Sanctuary County resolution. It's on the ballot. Or it's on the agenda May 21st in Sierra County. Supervisor Jim Beard, a tremendous patriot, mm-hmm. has put forth a lot of effort, and Jim and I have gone back and forth over this resolution for several days now. He made some changes to it that are to reflect the ammunition bans and the red flag things to make it current for today. It is a great resolution, which I'm going to use as our template going forward to put that into all Jefferson County. Let's start preserving liberty through local politicians from the ground up, not the top down, and let's do real things to form the state of Jefferson, not only politically, but legally and in people's minds, preparatory to statehood, and not waste our time and money on fake institutions that accomplish absolutely nothing.
Absolutely, and that's well said, my good friend. You know, one of the comments that Will Johnson made is, you know, well, we want representation. How do you get representation with 55 counties, 27 million people under the current system we have now? Or basically, what's their plan for any system? Do they just appoint people?
Stand out on the courthouse steps and read one grievance a week for 62 weeks, and they'll come out and say, oh, you're right, we're sorry, and give you everything you want. I mean, please.
Wake up,
folks.
Well, I think the problem is that people, I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about the research, the study, all the things that we needed to do.
So you said 55 counties, so they left three counties out?
That's all they did, left out was three counties.
So,
well, it's another statement I made. Who are you separating from?
Yeah.
I mean, in the end, the three counties will be better off than the 55, you know.
It's
yeah,
crazy.
So,
yeah,
exactly.
See, the problem is people, when you're not educated on a subject, you throw out words like, oh, we need representation, not knowing even what that means. Oh, you know, the West Virginia model, not even knowing what that means. Wrong court cases, all that stuff. But we're going to take a break, and then we come back.
Well, and before we go to that break, I was trying to do this earlier. The YouTube video and site that you need to go to hear what Mark had to say when he was interviewed by Will Johnson is Unite America First. Unite America First was with Will Johnson, and it was done 6 days ago. Because you can look on there when you pull that up, day one, day two, whatever. So go back to 6 days ago, Unite America First, and it'll talk about Jefferson. It'll have Mark Baird's name on there. So just go for that, look for it. And he and Paul are the first interviewed in that series of that YouTube. So it goes about 30 to 40 minutes of interview time, and then there are people calling in afterwards. You want to listen to that. You want to hear what people are saying, because some of them are good, others are way off base, and they have no idea what they're talking about. So you want to hear that just to know what's going on, so that you are educated as a supporter, understanding what people are thinking, so you can see what we're talking about, and you can help us get that fixed.
And when we get back from the break, Mark, I have a couple of things, and I know you've talked about it 100 times, but there's 3 points of clarity I want to bring up once we get back from the break, and I'll bring those up to you and have you take each one of those points on the CFR case. So hold on, my good friend, and I think we're going to go off to a break here. Good job, Sue. We got music. The time has come.
For 51.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
It goes on and on and on and on. Rangers, racing, up and down the boulevard, their shadows, searching in the night.
Searching in the night. We're back. Okay, hey, Mark, when you were talking about a court case being before Judge Mueller down in Sacramento at the federal court, wouldn't she be one of the three as a 3-judge panel if it's kicked back to her?
Yeah.
Now, see,
she's one of the three.
And I have a problem with that. She kicked it out, so now she's going to be one of the three. She's going to have a third of the voice on that panel, and depending on who's put on there with her, they could – just go along with her, depending on how she argues it.
Well, Edmund Coke said in the 1700s that all courts are corrupt because the judges know who pay them. So if you anybody that thinks otherwise is being naive. Of course, she would be biased.
Well, the taxpayers pay them. What the hell?
the taxpayers are paying the federal government, and the federal government turns around and pays her.
Yeah.
So we're not paying her. We pay the federal government its due. We render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and then Caesar turns around and pays the judge. And they know not to bite the hand that feeds them. But and also remember, she is a Democratic operative. She was a Sacramento City Councilwoman who stepped aside from her city council seat in order that Daryl Steinberg could be appointed to that seat. What had happened to him? He ended up the mayor of Sacramento. A million scandals later over arenas and all kinds of tax deals. Her husband and she have a ranch next door to Jerry Brown's wife and him, their ranch in Stony Ford. She's been a Democratic operative all her life.
Don't well, she was appointed. Yeah, she's appointed by Obama.
Right, she's an Obama. Well, a lot of judges are Obama appointees. I mean, that you can't use that for a disqualifier because every president gets to appoint judges, but that isn't the point. Her bias is to the Democratic status quo in Sacramento. She owes her allegiance to them. She owes her seat to them, basically, because I'm sure the Democratic National Committee put her name forward. She wasn't a very experienced attorney, and all of a sudden she's on the federal bench. So, you know, we have to expect those things. That's why we're doing what we're doing, in essence. We need to create a corner of this nation, the 51st state, Jefferson, where liberty rules the day, where liberty rules the actions of all of the state actors involved and all of the agencies involved and the state government involved to benefit the people of the state of Jefferson. If we can accomplish that, if we can, and it's not a sure thing, people, and it won't happen without a fight, then we can turn to other states and teach them how we did it, much the same as we did with our counties in Jefferson. We fixed a couple of counties. We elected constitutional thinkers. We then passed a resolution for Jefferson. We then turned to other counties to show them what worked and what didn't work. And now we have 23 counties. Let's do that with the state. But look, we've got to win our liberty before we have the moral authority to turn around and tell anybody else how to get theirs back.
Oh, amen.
Well, one of the arguments of New California is the fact that a court case cannot create a state, and this is where Preston keeps going. He knows the truth of that. He knows the truth of that, but I'd like you to explain it to the folks.
Well, look, Terry, you know, he uses that as though it's some kind of subterfuge that we've never expressed to people. I have said right from the very beginning of this, there is no constitutional way to create a state. It can't happen judicially. A judge can't create a state, which is really surprising because the California Supreme Court unlawfully and illegally stopped a California initiative from creating three states. So judges can stop it, but they can't start it, apparently, and they can't constitutionally. So here's what we're hoping to do, and I'll reiterate this for people who don't know much about Jefferson. What we're hoping for is we are hoping to use the historical facts surrounding California's illegal, unlawful, and unconstitutional cap on the number of representatives in the state legislature, and they did so in order to prevent certain groups of people access to real political power. In other words, they did it intentionally in order to deny representation to specifically the Chinese people of California. The theme of the 1879 Constitution was the Chinese must go. Article 19 in the California Constitution was it's a felony to hire a Chinese person. So now the unfortunate part about that kind of discrimination is the pendulum's always swinging. In 1879, they didn't want the Chinese to have access to political power, but what they really didn't want was they didn't want anyone to have meaningful access to political power, which would upset the status quo in Sacramento, where they get all the money and all the power and rule over you, whether you're Chinese or not. So the reality on the ground today is, because of what they did in 1879 to keep the Chinese from getting power, no one has representation. So what we hope to do in court is we hope to force California legislature back to the model that the framers of the Constitution of California in 1850 proposed to govern this state. And that was one state representative for 2,500 people and one state senator for each 6,000 and no county to have less than one senator. And at the time, there was only one county that had less than one, and I believe that was Santa Barbara County, or it might have been the county to the north, San Luis Obispo. And the Senate, and there were so few people living in San Luis Obispo County that the senator from Santa Barbara said, when I ride my horse to Sacramento, I'll stop there and find out what people want. So we had a model of government where everyone and every legal subdivision of California, which are the counties, Article 11, Section 1, had representation. And the model of government proposed under Prop 28 in 1926 was that each county would have no less than one state senator, with the very single exception of the smallest counties like Alpine and so on, but no more than three counties per senator, and all of those counties had to touch one another.
Well, that was very well.
Yes, and California worked back then.
Right.
So now, under today's model of government, because of the three court cases, Baker versus Carr, Gray versus Sanders, and Reynolds versus Sims, we have a federal court who is authoritarian over all election processes in all of the states. It was the end of state sovereignty. And now we have districts that are so big, 1 million people per state senator and 500,000 people per state assembly. I mean, look, our representation ratio in Congress is 1 for 700,000. We have better representation in Congress than we do in our own state legislature. And what we hope to do is force California back to the model the founders intended before their illegal activities capped the number of representatives at 40 and 80. And we hope to force a situation where we have one assemblyman for no more than 5,000 people and one state senator for no more than 10, 20,000 people, whatever we can get out of them. Well, what that will do is it will force a situation in California where we have 14,000 assemblymen and 7 or 8,000 senators. Now, California won't want to do that. It's too hard to ride herd on that many. It's too hard to bribe that many. The oil companies can't write that many checks. The outfits like the state employees union couldn't possibly bribe 14,000 people to get what they want. CalPERS would lose political power over that. So what we're hoping to do is force a settlement where California goes in the back room with us and says, hey, fellas, this ain't happening. That's too many. Our building would explode. We'd need too many telephones. And so we say it is an indefensible statement for the government that we, the people, created to defend our liberty, to turn to the very people who created that government and say the monster is too big and it is no longer convenient for us to represent you. That statement is indefensible morally, and it is indefensible, we believe, in court. And if you fail to represent the people, then the answer is easy. Break the state up into smaller governmental units where we can have representation. Because the people of California, and I can prove this, formed the government to protect our freedom, not theirs. In other words, governments don't have rights. People have rights. And if the government of California fails to protect our rights, then under Article 2, Section 1, it is our right and responsibility to alter or reform this government any time we decide it's required. And that's now.
You know, and the thing is, folks, as Mark has quoted the California Constitution, the United States Constitution, he is given fact. And that's one thing that we have heard nothing of this Preston character. These are facts. These are what we're looking at. You can't have a position if you don't know what the law says. You don't know what the Constitution of California says. And one thing I want to do is bring up the fact, Mark, that we were looking for a three-judge court, and the type of case we had merited a three-judge court. Judge Mueller originally, folks, gave us a three-judge court and then changed her mind. It's on the record that the last time we were in court, Gary Zerman, one of our attorneys, asked Judge Mueller, well, why did you change your mind? You gave us a three-judge court and then changed your mind. And she said, well, I thought about it and I got some advice on it. Now, here's the deal. Gary Zerman said that, Your Honor, we can never find on the record, we can't find it anywhere where it's ever happened that a judge has given a case, a three-judge court, or asked for one, and then changed their mind. No one's ever done that before. Now, she doesn't have an Adam's apple, but you could see it move. Here's the deal. The deal is, if folks, what we're doing is not the right way, if folks, what we're doing doesn't terrify the progressives, doesn't terrify the liberal left, if it doesn't terrify them, why did she do that, number one? And if it's never going to work and we could never do it, why did she do something that no one else has ever done? And I'm going to leave it with that because we've got to go off to our last break. And what we're going to do is bring Mark back and have him touch on those subjects. So Kemosabe, stay with us, my good friend, and time has come.
We're 51.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? A state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
One more time.
Roll it out.
Talking about one more time, Kemosabe, after what we just talked about, the importance of the three-judge court, the situation where she's done something no one else has done before, gosh, you'd think that there's a little bit of a fear factor there on the left, but I'd like you to elaborate on that. We've got about 7 minutes, so bring us home, Kemosabe.
Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, look, the left is not afraid of anything. To do something illegal or unconstitutional doesn't bother them a bit, and it never did. But here's where we're going with this. There is the law, and like I said, a lot of this requires a tremendous amount of reading and research. So here's the basis for our lawsuit, and this is why we brought the lawsuit in exactly the method that we did. Title 28, United States Code, Section 2284, says a three-judge court is required whenever there is an action filed challenging the constitutionality of the apportionment of congressional districts or the apportionment of any statewide legislative body. In any action required to be heard and determined by a district court of three judges, the court shall do the following. Upon filing the request, the judge who the request is presented, unless, and I'll get back to this in 1 second, so just put this thought on hold, unless he determines that three judges are not required, immediately notifies the chief judge of the circuit, who shall designate two other judges. So the trial court judge has one job whenever an apportionment case, and that's what Jefferson is, we're challenging the constitutionality of the districting of the state legislature. There aren't enough districts. They're too big. They have too many people in it. It's a straight apportionment case and dilution of vote case. So the judge has one job. Tell the chief magistrate that she needs two more judges. That's her job. Unless, now let's get back to this thought, unless he thinks that a three-judge court is not required. Now, the Supreme Court has addressed that very issue in a case called Shapiro v. McManus. And the only time a three-judge court would not be required and a judge would be within their rights to fail to constitute a three-judge court is if the case is deemed to be frivolous or without merit. Well, we have on the record Judge Mueller, Scott Staffney asked her, Judge, do you think this case is frivolous or without merit? And the judge said, oh, no, I think it's a very serious question. And then she asked the state's attorney, Waters, Mr. Waters, do you think this case is frivolous? And he said, oh, no, Your Honor, I think it's a very serious question. So the fact that in open court, both the judge and the opposing attorney agreed that we have a very serious matter in front of them should have taken off the table the judge's ability to deny us the three-judge court. She knew that because she appointed the three-judge. She asked for the three-judge court. She ordered the three-judge court to be constituted. And then, after having illicit conversations with another body who was not briefed on the case and did not know the merits or facts of the situation, she changed her mind. And that's what Gary is referring to as unprecedented, and that is the main fact upon which our case is being appealed. Because remember, on appeal, and here's another matter of research that we had to do to discover, you cannot bring in new information. You can only challenge on the technicalities. And once again, the state is not questioning what we say. They've never said what we said was wrong. They have never said we have enough representation. They failed to mention that. They agree. It's all true. Everything we said is true. But they're saying we don't have a good enough reason to be in court. And so what we're challenging is the fact that Judge Mueller acted illegally and unlawfully and inappropriately, and we're going to force her to constitute that three-judge court so that we can get this case in front of the Supreme Court. And the way we do that is, further in Title 28, 2284, it says, the result of any action from issuing from a three-judge court, primary jurisdiction for the appeal is the United States Supreme Court. Everyone's entitled to an appeal. So if out of the three-judge court we lose or we win, the appeal will go directly to the United States Supreme Court. We don't have to ask their permission. They have to take the case. And the only hope we, the people, have for justice is in front of what we hope is the least corrupt court in the country, and that's the United States Supreme Court.
That's great. Now, also keep in mind, too, I just want the listeners to understand and know that we have the audio and the written transcripts of each of our court dates so that they understand that we have all that information and our attorneys are using that information as well to make sure that all these little nuggets that are said in court are remembered and documented accurately.
Also, I think that if somebody knows how to do this, this program should be sent to Will Johnson. Not for any other reason, but for the fact of clarity, because a lot of this, everything that you heard today, folks, was factual. Everything you heard today was documented. Everything Mark gave had references either to the California Constitution, United States Constitution, the United States Code. All these things that come to fruition are real. They're not
right.
They're not fake senators. They're not fake assemblymen. They're not just they're not fake people doing fake things, using fake arguments and trying to make them real. So with that, my good friend Kemosabe, God bless you. Thank you so
Thank you,
much.
Mark.
Great program, Mark. Thank you. Thank you so much again, my good friend. And Mark, what time is it, Mark?
Time has come for 51, fellas.
Amen, brother. Amen.
All right, guys. So with that, we're going to ride off into the sunset.
In a golf cart.
It's a rain full of thrills. See you next week.
Bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.